I'm glad that you're here tonight. It's good to see everybody. And Jax, come on up. You still going to preach, right? Okay. All right. Well, it's good to have you tonight. Glad that you're here. I remember my first sermon. I got to thinking about this when I first got to preach. And I was preaching. There was two of us young men that were, I don't remember what age we were. We were in Minnesota, so it must have been between the ages of 12 and 17, somewhere in there. And we were asked to preach on a teen night. You know, teens were kind of running the service, and so two of us were preaching. And I was given 15 minutes to preach. And we were going to kind of split time, and I was given 15 minutes. I preached on Judges 6 and 7. I preached on Gideon. And I remember the message. I still have the message, actually, that I wrote by hand. I still have it at my desk somewhere. And still one of my favorite passages just because that was my first place to preach. And wouldn't you know it, I went over all my time. And so things never change, right? Some things just never change. But it's been a blessing. One of the things as a parent that is a lot of fun is seeing God work in your kids and seeing how God gets a hold of their heart at some point. They kind of begin to grow, and I'm excited to see what God's doing with Jax. And he's expressed to us a little bit about maybe possibly even going into ministry someday. We don't know if that's what God's doing. We're praying about that. And so we're going to accept whatever God wants for him. And but if you would pray with us, we'd love for you to pray with us about giving him direction. I'm very proud of my son and how God's really, he's still a goofy 14-year-old. Don't get me wrong. But he's in a lot of ways, the last couple of years, I've seen God mature him and help him in a couple of areas, and it's been a blessing to see that. And so I actually asked him to preach in our popcorn preaching, which he's going to tell you about in part of his introduction, I think. But we didn't get to come. So I said, well, I'll just have you preach some other time. And, you know, honestly, as a teenager, I thought he might just forget about it. I just thought, well, maybe next year, you know, whatever. He didn't forget about it. And he kept working on that sermon. It was supposed to be 5 minutes. He kept working on it. And me and my wife were been working late, kind of working between the church and the house and everything. And so we were getting in late, and one night got in like 9 o'clock and walked in the dining room. And Jax was sitting at the dining room with his Bible out and a computer and some paper and notes. And I said, what are you doing? You know, you'd think he'd be in there playing video games like he normally is. But this night we caught him studying for his sermon. And so he's worked really hard on this. I know he's a little nervous, but we're all friends here. Amen. And so I appreciate your support of him. And so, Jax, why don't you come preach for us tonight?
Thank you. A little nervous, but we'll try to get through it.
Oh, all right.
Step one complete. All right. Now, my dad actually covered half my introduction. So I'll just go over the first bit, even though you've heard it. But my dad did ask me to preach for the popcorn preaching. I was really excited, and I knew what I was going to do it over. I was going to do it over Jonah, because I already knew the story pretty well. So I studied that for a couple of days, and turned out we did not make it to the watch night service. So I worked on it a little more, made it a little longer, and Dad said, you know, you could just preach on Wednesday. So I was like, okay, I'll preach on Wednesday whenever you have me. But I'm going to go over Jonah and kind of when he sinned against God, how his heart was troubled, or in the verse we're about to read, his soul fainted, and he remembered the Lord. And we're gonna be going over some of Hebrews, and Hebrews explains that correction is not fun. It says it's not joyous but grievous, but fruit comes from it. So that's what I'm going to be talking about today. So take your Bibles to Jonah chapter 1 and 17 for me. Jonah chapter 1, and we're going to read through a little bit of this, finishing off the first chapter, and we're reading a little through the second chapter. So, verse 17 of chapter 1. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. chapter 2, verse 1. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardst my voice. For thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about, all thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet thou hast brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for the many blessings that you've given to us. Father, I do ask that you would just help me to get to this message and give me the words to say. Father, I ask that you would just help me to just be encouraging to some others that might be in this room. Think of this good rest of our night. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. A little girl was talking to her teacher about whales, and the teacher was explaining multiple times that it is impossible for a whale to swallow a human, and because they might be big animals, but their throat is very small. And the girl said that Jonah replied with that Jonah was swallowed by a whale, and the irritated teacher said it again, that it is physically impossible for a whale to swallow a human. The little girl said, when I get to heaven, I'll ask Jonah. And the teacher said, what if Jonah didn't go to heaven? The little girl replied with, well, then you ask him. Okay. All jokes aside, we're going to go read Jonah 1 and 1 through 3, and we're just kind of build up this sermon to build up my thoughts for the message. So Jonah 1, and we're going to read verses 1 through 3. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah arose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa. And he found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. In these verses we just read, God told Jonah to go to Nineveh and preach or witness to the Ninevites. And Jonah obviously did not want to do that. He did not want to follow God's path. So instead, he just flees from the Lord and heads to another city. And we'll go to Jonah 1, 4 through 5. So 1, 4, and 5. And it says, But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid, and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea, to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay, and he was fast asleep. Jonah, while he's on the boat, the Lord sent what I like to call phase one of Jonah's correction. So he disturbed the sea and made huge waves so that the boat was rocking and very unsteady. And it made the mariners afraid so much to where they were crying out to their little g gods. Now we're going to read Jonah 1 and 11 and 12. Then they said unto him, What shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. And he said unto him, Take me up and cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that my sake this great tempest is upon you. Jonah knew he messed up. So he told the men on the ship to throw him overboard, and that the sea will calm down because he served the one and true God. We're going to read Jonah 1, 15, and 17. We're going to skip over 16. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Now, the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights. This is when they threw him overboard, and Jonah eventually got swallowed by a whale, as it says, or a huge fish, for 3 days and three nights. This is phase two of Jonah's correction. Jonah 2, 1 through 9. It's really, we're just kind of rereading, but it's fine. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me out of the belly of hell, cried I. And thou heardest my voice, for thou hadst cast me into the deep and in the midst of the seas, and thy floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves has passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight. Yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple, that they observe lying vanities, forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. This is the prophet's prayer, or this is Jonah praying to God, humbling himself before the Lord. He admitted that he sinned against him, and he was asking for forgiveness. We're going to read Jonah 2:10, just the last verse of chapter 2. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. So the Lord ends Jonah's punishment and gives him another chance to obey the Lord. So that's what we're going to read in Jonah 3:1-3. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. And Jonah began... Oh, no, sorry, that's a little too far. Okay, so this is when the Lord told him the second time, pretty much word for word, to go to Nineveh and preach or witness to the word, to the Ninevites, and so they might know Jesus and accept him as their Savior. Okay, so we've kind of built up our... what Dad likes to call it, a sandwich of the message. And so I just have 5 points or thoughts that we could, that came to my mind after reading these verses. And point number one, if there's something I can take from this passage, is that God will always give us a second chance. And he'll give more. But it would be better if we would take the second opportunity to follow him. Point number two is, God always has a way to get us to obey. That is, if we do something wrong, he will correct us of our ways. We don't know when it'll happen. It could happen 2 months from now, 2 weeks from now, or 2 days from now. But whatever happens, there is a reason for it, and it'll help us to grow. Point number three is, as Christians, we need discipline. We need spiritual discipline, and we can only get that from God. That is what grows us and gets us closer to Christ, and it gets us a stronger relationship with him. Point number four is, think about what would have happened to the Ninevites if God let Jonah go to Tarshish. The Ninevites would have not gotten saved or witnessed to, and Jonah would be a huge mess. The real question is, what would we be like without a Heavenly Father that corrected us of our faults? Let me just tell you, we would be a mess, and we would not be the Christian we are today without Christ. So the one question I have is, what do the people in Gillette, Wyoming need? Is they need Christ. God puts us together and cares for us, and he teaches us, and all we have to do is listen, and it's that easy. Point number five. God provides everything that we need and more. Count your blessings. We don't deserve anything God gives us, yet he's so loving, kind, and merciful to provide for us and give us our needs. So thank him. Just take a minute and thank him for what he's done for you. Now, there are multiple examples of this type of scenario in the Bible, like the children of Israel, when they, Jesus got the Israelites out of Egypt, and when Moses was up on the mount praying and talking to God, they made a golden calf or molten calf, and they worshipped it. And it said in a verse that this is our God. And they soon after, Moses made them drink the gold. And gold doesn't sound appetizing to me. And I would not like that. So that is definitely a punishment, I would think. Let's just listen to what Hebrews says about the chastening of the Lord. So Hebrews 12, 6 through 11, you can turn your Bibles through there. I'll just read it right here. And it starts in verse 6, we're going through 11. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, wherefore are all our partakers, then ye are bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now, no chastening of the for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. We need to be thankful for our Heavenly Father that corrects us of our faults. And when he does correct us, the Bible says in verse 11 that fruit does come from it, even though it's not fun. Get my notes organized here. This passage that sets an example of the correction, the fruit that comes from it. Proverbs gives the same teaching. So Proverbs 3, 11 through 12, I'll read it here. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. The Bible tells us that we don't all enjoy correction, but it is good for us spiritually. He knows what's best for us. Come to think of it, he even cares enough to love us and cares about us enough to correct us of our faults. We may think we know best, but in the end, we always realize that God really did know better than we did. Our wants are different than his wants. His wants are what we need. Our wants are what we want and what we think we need. So if Jonah could have gotten to chapter 2, verse 7, when he remembered the Lord, he could have avoided the whale and everything altogether. And Nineveh would have heard that message that much sooner. When we feel God correcting us, it is best to get on the same page with God as quickly as we can. We need to quickly agree with him and change our ways, and that's when the correction ends and the fruit begins. We want to be thankful for God and live life that pleases him. So we need to learn to be thankful for and respond to his correction. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for the many blessings that you've given to us today. Father, I'm so grateful for you, God, just correcting me and transforming my life as I've lived. And Father, I ask that you would just continue to do that and do the same for what you've done in my past few years. And Father, I ask that you would just bless us with your love and care and give us a good rest of our night. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Well, amen. It's an interesting perspective. When I study Jonah, my focus is on Jonah, you know, because that's the knucklehead of the passage and that's who I always focus on. And I thought it was neat that Jax's perspective was the Heavenly Father and his correction, his work in Jonah's life. So thank you to Jax for that. And that was a blessing. Amen. Amen. Well, we're going to pray. Actually, Jax just prayed, so I'll give you a few announcements, then we'll be dismissed tonight. A couple of things. Let me see here. I got to get my list here. This Saturday is Grow, so don't forget. Come on out. It's 10 o'clock this Saturday morning. It looks like we're going to have good weather, I think. Of course, around here, who knows? By Saturday, could be a blizzard, rain or shine or whatever, who knows. But We'll be ready. We'll go out. If you haven't ever been to Grow, just come on out. You'll enjoy it. We'll pair you up with someone else so you won't be out there by yourself or anything like that. And you can go with us. You can go with my family or someone else that's here. It'd be fine. But we just go out, pass out a few tracts and flyers. And God's honoring that work. And I'm thankful for those who are able to come. So come on out for that. And then just a couple of things. Ladies, coming to the ladies' retreat, Miss Michelle informed me that you need, 15-ounce cans, right? So with the label off and then like kind of all cleaned up. So just like 15-ounce, vegetable cans that are already stuff eaten out of them, okay? And then cleaned up, no label, just like ready to use. And so if you'll bring those before or to the retreat or... Oh, anyone? Okay, so anyone can bring these. I'm sorry. Okay, we just need cans. So everyone in here, cans, all right? 15-ounce, the small ones, no labels. Bring them up here. Bring them to the church, and the ladies are going to use those on the retreat. Now I'm understanding. Okay. I didn't know what you guys were playing, kick the can or what, on the ladies' retreat. And so anyway, all right, that's going on. Then we have our revival coming up with Brother John Waterloo. Super, super, super excited for you to meet him and his wife. You will love them. It'll be a great week. So April 6th through the 9th, just plan on being here. Just don't let anything keep you away. You are going to love this meeting. So the schedule is Sunday school, Sunday morning, afternoon, just like normal. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, the services will start at 7 o'clock. Until whenever he quits. So we'll just see how long that is. But we'll start every night at 7 o'clock. And it's going to be a great time. And so put that on your calendar. And then also, men, that same week, I know it's a lot in the week. I wasn't planning this, but just I'm kind of going with everyone else's schedule on these two items. And so our Man Up Conference also is that week. So if you're a man in this church, I'm just telling you, the week of April 6th is a huge opportunity for you to get a lot of the Lord in 1 week. And so... if you want to sign up for that, I noticed I think we have 8 signed up so far. That's a blessing. If you've never been to one of these type of conferences, guys, you will love it. You don't think you will, but you will. You will enjoy it. It will be a help to you. And so sign up for that out at the Welcome Center. And then for our Love Thy Neighbor ministry, we're still accepting socks, undershirts, underwear for men, women, boys, and girls. But your last week to do that will be Sunday. After Sunday, we're going to take the bins, and Miss Gail's going to tell us when we're then going to package those things up and send them out. And so that's going on as well. I think that's all the announcements. So let's pray, be dismissed tonight. Lord, we do thank you for the day. Thank you for